Good morning, everyone. It's Terrific Transformational Tuesday. It's October 22nd, 2024. Welcome to Oh My Angels. I'm your host, Peggy, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to your angels. I'd love to have you join me in the 12radio chat room. So to get there, you go to 12radio.com. And on the left-hand side, you'll see the little chat button. Just click on that, and you'll get invited into this private chat room. For the first-time listeners, welcome, welcome. The first part of the show, I share with whatever topic the angels want me to discuss. And then the second half, I get any answers that you need from any questions that you post into the chat room. So for those of you who have been continuing and putting up with me and coming to see me every Tuesday, I certainly appreciate it, and welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. You may hear some saws going and banging. It's not near as loud as what it was last week. Last week there was no way I could have been on the radio. It would have just, you guys would not have heard anything except for me and Yogi solely losing our minds. But they are still working on the apartment, but thank God, the majority of the heavy lifting stuff, as far as I'm concerned, is done. I can always be surprised, I guess we'll see. So if you hear that, know that your sound and stuff's okay. It's just Peggy's world today, okay? Also, for those of you, if you want to check out my website, it's Oh My Angels, spelled OHMyAngels.com. You can go check that out. I'll have the November scopes up probably by the end of next week at the latest. So you can check that out. Today's show, I had something totally different planned. And I kind of got a nudge from my angels. And I just kept hearing this purple ribbon. I'm like, well, what the heck? You know, and I just kind of blew it off and went about my business, doing my own little thing. And then it got a little, you know, a little bit more insistent, purple ribbon. And then the last time it woke me up out of a dead sleep and I heard purple ribbon, like now. I'm like, okay. So I looked it up and it can symbolize different things. But the thing that stood out to me was domestic violence. And I didn't know it, or if I did remember it, or if I did know it, I didn't remember it, that October is Domestic Violence Month. So the third Thursday of every October is the day that they wear the purple shirts or purple ribbons or whatever, and it lets everyone else know that you're standing out against domestic violence, which would have been last Thursday. So anyhow, so we're having this, you know, a little late, but, and the reason for the purple, believe it or not, it says the meaning of purple ribbon was drawn to the symbol of domestic violence. While the purple can symbolize the color of the bruises many women have sustained from their abuser, it also represents hope. The wearing of the purple ribbon tells anyone you stand against domestic violence and that you will speak up to stop violence against women and their children. And another statistics, in case you didn't know, domestic violence is the leading, get this, the leading cause of injury to women in the U.S. It's more common than auto accidents, muggings, and cancer deaths combined. Let that set in. I mean, that blew me away when I saw that. And the reason the angels are having me talk about it is because I've lived through it. And I'll try real hard not to get too emotional today, but this always hits a chord with me. And maybe that's why I was kind of blowing it apart and then trying to ignore the purple ribbon situation. But I grew up in a family that was, my dad was pretty aggressive, and his violence, his domestic violence, he would slap us around. You know, he never fisted, you know, used a fist, but he'd slap us around or shove us, or it was still bad enough. It's something that, you know, no kid should have to go through. And when you grow up in that environment, you know not to bring, you know, you don't have kids come over too often because you just never know if dad's going to be in a good mood or a bad mood, and you don't want anybody else to know the hell that you're going through at home. So And I never realized how much of an impact that had on my relationships until I got older. And both the men that I married, both of them got physical. My first one, not so bad. I mean, his was he did real well. He only hit me or shoved me to where places when nobody else could see any of the effects. You know, nobody else could see the bruises or the lacerations or anything else. You know, and if they did, it was, you know, there was an excuse. I fell, I tripped, you know, I did whatever. But you get to, you know, if that's the norm that you grow up in. When you get into relationships, even though there's a part of you that knows that this is not normal, that this is not the way it should be with people, you don't really see anything too wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? Because psychologically, you grew up with that. And psychologically, you know, it was told to me, I don't know how many times, that, you know, if I was only better, if I don't would only be a better sister, if I'd only be a better daughter, if I'd only be a better whatever, then I wouldn't have to get hit or spanked or what grounded or whatever, you know. It was always my fault. I wasn't good enough. And again, when you grow up with that as the norm, you don't expect really anything better. And it took me a long time to learn this very, very, very valuable lesson. So just a side note, if you're in a relationship right now to where they're not helping you build up yourself, or they're talking down to you, putting blame on you, whatever, get out of the relationship. You don't need that because you are, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you've been through, you are worthy of having somebody respect you and treat you with care. And if you're in a relationship that they don't do that, get the heck out. It's really not worth it. Okay, so again, I grew up with domestic violence. It was my norm. So my first husband, again, it was just a shoving, you know. It wasn't anything too dramatic, you know. It was dramatic enough, but I'm not trying to downplay it. But it was not nearly as violent as what I survived with my second relationship. And what's interesting about my second marriage is the fact that my first marriage, I loved him, you know, as much as anybody knows what love is at 19. My second marriage, I fell head over heels in love with this man. I loved him with every fiber of my being. And but I kept telling myself I'm not going to get in a relationship again where there's violence or where there's, you know, drugs or whatever. And so the first marriage, you know, was mainly marijuana pot. The second marriage was alcohol, only I didn't see it. Maybe because I didn't want to see it. I don't know. But we lived together for a year before we got married. And during that year, he was my best friend. We did everything together. We went camping, we laughed, we played, I mean, you name it, we did it together and we had a great time. There was no indication of any violence. There was no, you know, he never expressed, you know, anger towards me or towards my son. And so I thought, okay, you know, so when he asked me to marry him, I'm like, sure, you know, yay. You know, I finally found somebody who treats me good. You know, this is going to be so much better. And this is my happily ever after. Okay. Wrong. Exactly 1 week to the day that I said I do, I got my first black eye. And I was devastated. And he was drunk and he's passed out. And I called a friend of ours and I just sat and cried and cried and cried. And I was told then, Peggy, just get out. Just leave him now. But you know, pride stepped in. Oh, you can't leave me. He didn't really mean it, you know. He'll probably never do it again. It was just a one-off because he was drunk, you know, blah, blah, blah. Again, the stories that I grew up with, right, were replaying. So this is supposed to be okay. This is supposed to be the love of my life, and this was just supposed to be a one-off, right? So again, I had a very big black eye, and it was the fourth of, for our first 4th of July together after getting married. We got married the end of June, and a week later, I got my first black eye. And you know, we told everybody that I tripped. We had gone camping, So that was the story that we told everybody. That was the first lie of many. Pardon me. And of course, it's the same thing. You know, Peggy, if you were just a better wife, if you hadn't acted that way, if you hadn't said this, then I wouldn't have had to hit you. You know, and during the year, before we got married, I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, these guys are so good. Let me tell you, they manipulate you and they kind of start cutting you off from your family and start cutting you off from your friends. And it's a slow process. So by the time the abuse starts or becomes physical, I should put it that way, by the time it starts, you've already kind of out on an island, you know, without any real good support. I mean, they're good. They're slick, let me tell you. And when I tried to talk it over with my friends, they were like, you know, you got to get out of there. And they were bad mouthing him. And I'm thinking, dang, I haven't been remarried that long. And, you know, how would it look? And what would people say? And if you're in that kind of relationship right now, let me tell you, don't give a crap what other people say or think. Get the hell out. The sooner the better. If they're not willing to get help, and then if they say they are willing to get help, have them prove it before you get back involved. You know, I'm not trusting of people when it comes to that anymore. And that's probably why I haven't gone into another relationship, because I can't trust myself. I had too much conditioning as a child that, you know, of course it's all my fault. It's not their fault. You know, if I was a better person, if I wasn't too heavy, if I wasn't too thin, if I didn't like this, or if I didn't say that, you know, then things would have been better. But of course, it was all my fault. But one of the worst beatings that I took, and it really was a smackdown. I don't know how else to call it. I know, it was on a Sunday because we started out watching a Chiefs game. And all honesty here, we both have been drinking. The next thing I know, I wake up and I'm thinking, dang, my head really hurts. And I'm laying on the living room floor and I'm looking down on the carpet and I'm thinking, dang, did we have some strawberry Kool-Aid or something? How come the carpet's all red right here? And so I stand up and I look around and I don't see, you know, my husband at the time. And I go outside to sit on the porch because I can't get it together. I can't figure out what's gone on. And I pull up, I mean, I sit in this chair and I can remember thinking, man, my head really hurts. Something's really wrong here. And I look up and my ex-husband pulls up with my son because it was time for my son to come home. And he stops the car, he looks at me, and he rolls the window down and he says, I'm calling the police. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a weird thing to do, you know? And the next thing I know, I've got a police and ambulance there to take me to the hospital. And the bone that holds your eye in place was shattered. I think I had like 22 stitches or staples in my head. Both my eyes were purple. I mean, one was totally swollen shut, and the other one just had just like a little slit. I was a hot mess. Because of that situation, I lost custody of my son because they made such a big deal out of it that I was not in a good, safe environment for my son. They didn't give me the option to leave my husband before they took action. It was at a place and time to where women really didn't have a lot of rights, you know? And I had everything stripped from me. I had nobody that wanted to help support me. I was left with this hot mess. And we both worked for the same company, and he had gotten fired. And the guy that fired him, I was secretary to. So I get out of the hospital. All I know is I've got to work. I have nothing else. I've got to work. I've got to be able to support myself, figure out how the hell I'm going to get out of this mess that I'm in, and get my son back. And so I go to work the following week, and my boss walked in, took one look at me, called me into the conference room with another manager, and they let me know that I could not come back to work until I looked better. I was a disgrace to the company. Again, I mean, nowadays I could probably sue them, right? But back then, again, women have no rights. And I wasn't wanted at home and I wasn't wanted at work. You know, what the hell was I supposed to do? I, you know, lost my son and I went through hell. And in my friends and stuff defense, they had tried to get me away from him for quite some time. And I didn't leave for one reason or the other. And I think the biggest thing for me was if I go to stay with somebody and he finds me, what's he going to do to them or their kids? You know, I was putting somebody else's life in danger. So it was hell for I went through literal hell for a lot. It took me 7 years to get out of this relationship because no matter where I went, he followed. And but I ended up getting some very strong women who said, Peggy, this is enough. You know, we'll help you get out of the situation. And I got into another apartment. I got my life back together somewhat. And but it was hard. It was real hard on me, and it was real hard on these women that were helping me. But as far as family and stuff, you know, I mean, I got what I deserved, right? If I'd just been a better wife, I mean, gosh, this is my second marriage, you know, basically get your act together. You know, so I didn't have the support. And there was a part of me that said this, you know, this is some crap. You know, I don't deserve this. And that little voice started getting louder and louder and louder to the point that I stood strong. Went through the divorce. He ended up coming back in my life 2 years later. And the irony of that is I couldn't understand what had changed with him, how our relationship had been so good and then had gone so bad. And what is it that I really did that triggered in him this abuse? Because I want to take responsibility for my part, right? And so I kept asking the angels, please guide me, show me what it is I need to know from this relationship where I can finally let it go and move on and be a healthier person. And he came over again. We started kind of seeing each other. I know I was a fool, but again, I needed answers. And we're sitting at a table and we were talking about going fishing and getting ready to go fishing. And I asked him what triggered it, you know, what caused all the upheaval in a relationship that had been so good. And again, it's what I did wrong, right? And he told me it's because I wasn't as strong as I put out that I was. You know, he wanted somebody to take care of him and be the strong one. He didn't want to be the strong one anymore. And when I couldn't be strong anymore, then he was just done with me. He was pissed off that I couldn't be the strong one and take care of him. And that day was the second worst beating I got from him. And we had gone fishing, and again he started drinking really heavily. And I said, "You know what? I'm not. You said you weren't going to drink. I'm going to just go on back home." And he took my fishing rod, started chasing me, and he's following me with a fishing rod. And he got my keys away from me. He jumps in the car and he starts chasing me with my car. And you know, this is out in the country, out past Blue Springs. And thank God there was a little church on this little country road, and the minister was out there mowing the grass. And he saw me running, and you know, my shirt's torn, and I've got blood all over me. And he gets between me and you know, my ex, and he calls the police. He tells the police, my ex tells the police that I deserved it and told me what all had happened. I had my son come pick me up and we go to my duplex, and he tells the police, you know, I had it coming. And he tells them, you know, I should have killed her when I had the chance. And there was one male cop there that said, yeah, you probably should have, or something like that, and a female cop stands up and she goes, "Get out of here." And she sent him packing out of the apartment altogether. But again, that was the mentality that I went through during that period. If you're in an abusive relationship, get out. They don't change. They don't get better, at least from my experience. I'm so grateful and thankful that the minute that I found out, because I needed the reason of why things had gone so bad. And the minute I got that answer, the angels intervened. And by the grace of God, I'm here. Had I not asked for help and asked them to intervene, I probably would have been gone a long time ago. So when you get in a relationship and it seems all good and whatever, the first time they hit you should be the last time. There's no excuse whatsoever for a man to put his hands on a woman, or for anybody to put their hands on you in a threatening manner. There's no excuses for it. And it's not your fault. I mean, these men that do that, they're so good. If they could have, Academy Awards for that kind of situation, my ex would have won them all. I mean, I bought all the stories he told me, hook, line, and sinker, because I loved him. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what story they've told you, that's not love. Love doesn't beat, doesn't strip you of your pride, your integrity, doesn't make, I was told basically I was lower than snake crap. And I believed it. Again, I was raised that way. And I can't blame my folks for that. I mean, it just, it, that evidently, those are the lessons I signed up for. And I've talked about this before on the radio show, and I've always had at least one or two people that have private messaged me and thanked me because they were going through something similar. And I want you to know, if you're in that situation, get help. Get that restraining order. If you're a friend of someone's going through that, help them get the restraining order. One of the things that really saved me, and this is going to sound trite, but it was my wake-up call. I'm sitting in the court. I'm sitting in the she was I can't remember what her title was, but she was, I was filling out the paperwork for the restraining order to keep him away from me. And she had to get up and go get something. And I looked down and she had a little plaque on her desk. And it says, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result." And that's exactly how I've been living my life. My dad beat me, my first husband did, and then my second husband. And that was just plain insanity that I kept putting up with it. And a lot of people go, "Well, why did you stay?" And, if that was me, I'd have left the first time. Well, maybe you would have, but I wasn't conditioned to do that. I didn't think I deserved any better. I bought the Kool-Aid they were selling. My home life showed me what Kool-Aid to drink. So when you're in a situation like that, even if you feel like you don't have anybody you can turn to, there are so many groups nowadays that you can reach out to that will get you the help. Before I forget it, let me give you this number. If you've got a pen and paper, it's 800-799-7233. It's the National Domestic Hotline. They can help you. They can get, somebody out to you in a heartbeat. They can get you the resources you need. It's not easy, but please, please, please don't You don't have to do it alone. There's so many groups and so many women that can help you. But you do not deserve it. Know that you deserve so much better. You know, and those people who think, oh, well, again, I think the thing that hurt me the most was people were saying, well, you know, you deserve what you get if you're just going to stay with them. And on some level, I get that. And I get where they're coming from. But I can remember, again, by them making those statements, thinking, well, they're just reiterating what, you know, my dad and what both my husbands have said. I don't deserve any better. So think about that. When you run across somebody who you think is going through something like this, see if you can gently guide them to the number or talk to them. See if you can drive them someplace. You know, one of the reasons I didn't leave a lot sooner too was the fact I had a little my first year working, and a lot of the places that women, the women shelters that you can go to, don't take animals. So there's a lot to go into it. You know, I love that little dog. That little dog saved my life. So I couldn't abandon him. But again, I'm just saying, don't stay. Don't pick up the stuff they're laying down. Just don't. Know that you deserve better. I don't care what you've been told. I'm telling you, you deserve better. You know, and if you ever need to talk, I might want to listen every single day. I'll talk with you. I'll help. But no, please know that you're never alone. Your angels will guide you as well. Okay, you guys, so that's the heavy stuff for today. Again, please, I can't stress it enough. No, please know you're not alone, and to reach out to those that, you know, are willing to help you and can help you. Don't go through it alone. All right. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get you some answers from your angels. Put your questions in the chat room, and we'll get you some answers. Okay. Talk to you in just a bit. Welcome back, everyone. This is Peggy with the show, Oh My Angels. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to, again, reiterate that I didn't have the support system back then that we have in our society today. So if you or someone you know who's going through this, please, please show your support. Please don't turn your back on them. Let them know that you're there for them. Help them any way that you're comfortable doing so. Help them to get that restraining order. Help them get to a place that's safe for them to stay. And again, the National Domestic Hotline is 800-799-7233. On a lighter note regarding this situation, both my exes are deceased now. The second gentleman I was married to, I had moved from the Kansas City area to Arizona. And for those of you who don't know, I do mediumship as well, besides just, you know, readings. And I woke up and I could see him as clear as day. I'm thinking, what the hell is he doing in my bedroom? Like, oh my God. And I didn't know at the time that he had crossed over. So it just kind of really startled me. And he apologized. He wanted me to know that we both had lessons to learn and that we had signed up to help each other. And he said, I'm so sorry for how I handled my part of the lessons. He goes, I know that I could have done the lessons in a different manner other than, you know, basically beating the crap out of me. And, but again, he let me know, even though on the other side, he let me know that he truly did love me. And that that he was sorry for the pain and the mental anguish that he had caused me. So I had never heard of that happening. So I was very thankful. And I kept thinking, again, I didn't know that he was deceased. So the next day I reached out to his nephew and then his daughter, one of his daughters, and found out that he had passed away a couple of years sooner. So anyhow, that was just a little side note to let you know that, you know, at least I got an apology, right? So, and I learned a lesson. I haven't been in another abusive relationship since, so, and hopefully I can stay that way. So anyway, so let's get into the Facebook page here. Give me just a second, because I was there and then I refreshed and it took me back out of it. So give me just 1 second. And again, thank you guys all for listening and being here today. Let me refresh this one. Let's see, here we go. We'll start. Okay, get one more second here. I want to see all the comments. I always forget to do that, and then I end up missing somebody, and I don't do that on purpose, so please don't take offense. And you're going to hear them. I think you can hear them pounding and stuff. Just know that it's going to be good. We have to have patience, right? Renee's here, and thanks for being here, Renee. I appreciate you. Suzanne Morrissey says, hi, Peggy. Happy to hear you live today. Thank you, Suzanne. I'm glad to be here. I really missed you guys last week. And next week, you'll hear all about this transition. Let me tell you, we've got some stories to tell, me and Yogi. Quelly's here. She says, Tuesday, blessings, Peggy. Thank you so much, honey. And I know you're in Florida, so I hope things are all good with you and things are, you've got things all sorted out. So that was just horrible. What everybody's had to go through there with the two hurricanes. One was plenty, to have two was just horrendous. So know that my thoughts and prayers are with you and everyone else that's there in Florida. Anisha's here. She says, good morning, Peggy and all. Your positive messages make my heart sing. I'm okay, you're okay. Oh, thank you. I remember that book, you know, when they first came out with it. I'm okay, you're okay. Because everybody then would start making jokes about it. I'm okay, how about you? And so then you pop back, I'm okay, you're okay. So thank you so much. And my friend Kay's here. Hey, Kay. Kay and I did the show Storm Wisdom. And then things got not so good with me health-wise. I had to undergo a bunch of stuff. So I had to walk away from that show, and now I'm back with here the show of my angels. But thanks, Kay, for showing up. I appreciate you. Okay, Michelle Hendricks is here. She says, "Good morning, Peggy, Yogi, and Jay. Asking for prayers. My mom is in the hospital with controlled AFib. Any messages as to if I should come home before Christmas would be appreciated." And go Chiefs! Absolutely, we're 6-0, or I guess. That's what it is. So undefeated. So that's all we care about, right? All right, let's see here. Well, again, we don't really answer any questions with medical, but I feel like that I'm hearing divine timing. So I mean, if you're feeling the need to go, then go. If not, I think the plans that you have in place will be fine. She's not liking what she's where she's at and what's going on. But your mom also likes to have control over everything as well. So I think that's part of the issue there. But again, I'm saying just listen to your heart. If you feel like you need to go home sooner, then do so. I don't think it's going to make any difference one way or the other. Again, your mom is very agitated, and she's not happy with the situation. So she needs to let go of her anger, which we both know that she's not going to. So just, keep saying prayers and put the pink cloud around her. And I'll definitely hold you guys in my thoughts and prayers, okay? Pamela Snow says, "So happy to hear you today, Peggy." Thank you. And thank you for showing up. She says, "Thank you for sharing this. You're an inspiration. It had to be hard enough to go through. Never mind dredging it up to relay this. Can't be easy either." You're right. It's not. There's times that I forget all about it, and I think that a lot of times I've let go of it all. But there's still. I think every time I talk about it, though, instead of holding on to it, it helps me release. I don't have any anger towards the situation anymore. I really don't. And I think that's been very healing for me. I think for me is I feel sad because I really love this man. I really loved him. And when he wasn't drinking, it was the best experience of my life, you know? And but it just goes to show what drugs and alcohol can do to a person. And yes, I mean, he went through, I paid for seven different rehabilitation centers. So don't think I didn't try my best to try to make it work. But yeah, I lost a lot because of him, but because of my own inability at the time to process the lessons I was learning. And I didn't have the coping mechanism to be able to, ascertain what would be best for me on how to get out of the situation. So I think when you get into those kind of situations, for me, panic set in, and then a numbness of, okay, well, I don't deserve any better. So this is my lot in life, and I've just got to get on with it. But what's so ironic for me is that Leo personality was in there deep, and it was like saying, no, you don't deserve this. And you're not going to put up with this crap, and you're going to get your act together, and you're going to make things right, And I eventually did. So, and that's why I feel very strongly, when the angels gave me this push, I think there's somebody out there either listening today or that's going to be listening on the on demand that needs to hear this to know, if I can go through the beatings I took and make it to the other side, you can too. I don't want anybody else to have to go through what I did, though. I mean, if you can find somebody to talk to help you get out of it and help you come through it mentally of knowing that, you're not what they say you are. You're a good person, you're kind, you're loving. You're not somebody's punching bag. It's not your fault that they're having a bad day. It's not your fault that, it rained on a day it was supposed to be sunny. You can't control all that stuff. And you can't control anybody. They're responsible for their own actions. When you lash out to at somebody with anger or whatever, There's just no excuse for that. You know, you can apologize and that's nice, but it doesn't take away the black eye or the shattered bone or the whatever else damage that's been done to you. You know, so it's kind of nice, I guess I could say, to be able to speak of it knowing that I made it. And if I can inspire anybody else to get out of that kind of relationship, if I can, you know, give them hope, then that's exactly what the angels want me to do. So I think that I had to live through that time to where I could help others. You know, again, that's how I looked at when I had breast cancer. I felt like I had to go through that where I could help other women. To know what to expect, to know that they can come through it. So I feel like it's the same way with the domestic violence. So anyway, alrighty. Kay says, good show, Peggy. Thanks, Kay. I appreciate that. Jay, again, thank you, Jay. He's posted the National Domestic Violence Hotline on there. So please share that with anybody that you know that's going through this. Judith says, hi, Peggy. I'm dog sitting in a 1912 mansion. Oh, how cool. Any words for the three animals and me in this gorgeous historical house that originally included 64 doors? Holy moly. If your angel friends want to say anything, we are all ears, eight total. Oh my goodness. Well, there's a lot of, besides the three animals that you have with you, I'm hearing there's seven other animals in that home that like to be there. That's funny with those 64 doors. That's hysterical. But the animals that are around you are having fun with your animals, or the animals that are there. So it feels good. And it also feels like you're tied to that house in some way. Maybe in another life, definitely in another lifetime, it feels like you're tied to that house. So it's almost, in a way, the house is like saying, welcome back. Maybe you've dog sat there before, but I'm hearing from the house, welcome back. So, and again, there's no, nothing bad about it at all. It feels very joyous and very, welcoming and very, like a party. What's that song? There's a party going on around here. I can't remember the rest of the words, but anyhow, that's what it feels like. So enjoy. It feels great. I hope that helps. They're having fun with you though. So, you know, if it gets to be too much or they're scaring you, they're saying just, you know, let them know and they'll do something different. But they're having fun. It's all, I'm hearing the laughter and the joy and so enjoy it. It feels good. Hold on just a second. I went to refresh and I wiped myself out again. Hold on. Now I can't get that song. I don't know the words, but the music's playing in my head. Celebrate good times. Come on. I'm not a singer, so hopefully that song will make sense to you. Let me get here up here. Don't you hate it when that song, any song gets stuck in your head and you don't know all the words, but and then it won't shut off? Well, that's what's happening. Hold on. I'm trying to get back to all comments again here. Oh my goodness gracious. Can you guys believe that Halloween's almost here and that Thanksgiving's almost here and then Christmas? Of course, I'm excited about Thanksgiving or Christmas because my granddaughter's coming. So it's been forever since I've seen her. So. Okay, here we go. Now I'm back. Finally got it refreshed. Joni says, thank you for sharing this topic. So important and so relevant. I too had experiences. They are real. Most importantly, there is help. Yes, ma'am. And I'm glad you made it through it. You take care. Because they can be pretty sneaky. They get back in there. Anisha says, you're such a strong woman. You lost a lot, but you definitely gained yourself. Absolutely. You know, there's lessons in everything, right? Catherine says, hi, Peggy. If time allows, would love a message from my angels for my highest good. The first thing I pick up on they're saying that you're on the right path, that you've been questioning something over the last, they're showing me 7 to 10 days, and they're saying trust your gut that you are on the right path. And they're underlining like trust your gut, trust yourself, know that you already know what your answer should be, and that you've got it, and that you are being supported. Oh, and Judith responded, she goes, wow, there were two of them that I know of. See? She goes, thank you, Mr. Bidwell Holgate, the Holgate House. That's pretty cool. She goes, yes, I always think of Mr. I bid thee well. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, some of those old homes are so the energy there is so awesome. And a lot of people say it's not so much that the ghost, and I'm using air quotes right there, that are there bothering you. It's just that there is an imprint of the energy that it was expressed there. And on the negative side, I know the house that I lived in and took the worst beating. I know that that was such a traumatic event. I know that imprint is still there. Somebody needs to go and clear out the energy of that home. But anyhow, you have to think of those things. You know, when something like that comes up, or however you're feeling, if it's something traumatic that happens in a home or a place that you're at, that rocks you to the core. You know, that energy impact is there, and imprint is there. And who knows, 100 years from now, if the house isn't cl cleared of energy, that energy, someone's going to go in there and think, oh my God, what happened here? You know, so it was a very ended up being a very violent place for me. So I'm sure we've all had places that, you know, freaked us out or whatever. And sometimes it's kind of interesting to look at the history of it and find out what actually happened there. But anyhow, I digress. So again, let's see if I got any more in here. Again, if I ever miss something and it's a reading in here and you're wanting a reading and I don't see it, I apologize. If you'll post it again the next week, then I'll get put it top of the page. I'll get it right away. Sometimes when I refresh, though, I don't see them. I think I've seen everything, and then not. And I want to respond also. I saw this one. She said, "You're a strong woman," or whatever. But I think it was from Judith. I think that the thing about Arnisha said that. I am a strong woman, and that's why people were so surprised that I took it from this man. But the thing about it is, that's the persona I gave it to everybody else, right? Because that's the only way I could protect myself, is to show I'm this strong, independent woman, whatever. But inside, I'm still that little girl that was never good enough for her family, and never good enough for two different men, right? So I've had to work through that. To know that I am a strong woman, and I mean that in a good way now, instead of a persona that I showed to other people. I am a very strong, independent woman, and I tell it the way it is. I don't mince words. And some people say I'm too blunt, but usually when I'm really blunt, I try to do it with as much compassion and understanding as I can. But I don't have time for the BS anymore. I don't have time to play the mind games or whatever. And life's short, you know. And so say how you feel. Do it in a respectful manner. Say how you feel. Talk about the subjects that nobody else wants to talk about. You know, get the information out to others if you can help them. You know, this is just a fleeting time here on this earth. So do the best you can with what you have. If you have experiences, share them where other people can learn from them. Listen to the old people. We got lots to tell you. Okay, you guys, this is coming to the end of our show today. So as always, take what resonates with you and let go of the rest. Jay, you're awesome for producing me and putting up with all my little quirks and stuff. So thank you so much for supporting me there. I highly encourage you all to stay tuned and listen to the amazing C.A. Brooks on her show, Everyday Astrology. You can learn so much from her. And then after her, Kelly Whetstone has her show called The Empowerment. I think it's called The Empowerment Hour. And then after her is Katie, the Katie Weaver Show. And then last but not least is some, let's see, I thought there was somebody else there. I can't think of her name right now, so I apologize. But anyhow, stay tuned. We've got great shows on 112 Radio. And until next Tuesday, sending you all blessings, light, love, and angel hugs. Take care. See you next Tuesday.